97.5, The Fanatic.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Well, a pleasant Sunday morning to you right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hope you and yours are well, safe, and happy. Thanks so much for waking up with me today. I'm Tyler Zulli. We're here from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock today. Nat Marlowe producing the show. You'll hear from him as well throughout the program. We've got a lot to talk about and only 2 hours to cover said conversation. So let's do it. Let's get right into it. It has come to my attention that too many people, and I won't point names or point fingers, or pick out names, I should say, or point fingers, that too many people are under the impression that the Philadelphia Eagles should be not only sellers at the trade deadline, but basically give up on the season.
What?
In order to get a top 10 pick. So for the next 2 hours, I am going to tell you exactly why the Philadelphia Eagles should do no such thing and instead go play for a division title. This is a historically bad NFC East. Friday night, Devon Givens and I had a segment as part of our nightly show where Devon asked, give me one word that describes the NFC East. And my word was historic. And I said, oftentimes we use the word historic and we only think of good things, right? When you say historic, okay, that was a historic album. That was a historic moment in time, right? Because we think about good things when we talk about historic. Doesn't necessarily have to be. Because the NFC East is point and proof that historic can also mean historically bad. And that's exactly what this division is. So with the division being historically bad, and the Philadelphia Eagles having a winning percentage of 35.7 through 7 weeks, and that tops the division. So why not, simple question, why not the Philadelphia Eagles? They are 2-4-1 through 7 games. They have losses to the Washington football team, who has 1 win. They have a tie to the Cincinnati Bengals, who have 1 win. Sprinkle in a couple of losses to a 4-2 Rams team, a loss to a 5-1 Baltimore Ravens team, a 5-0 Pittsburgh Steelers team, and that's where we find ourselves through 7 weeks with your Philadelphia Eagles at 2-4-1. Now you say, Tyler, this team stinks. This team is getting old. This team has horrible injury problems. What exactly is there to play for? Well, my friends, I'll tell you what there's to play for. Division titles fix a lot. And for me, growing up a fan of this football team, growing up a fan of all four of the teams in this city, and understanding the landscape of fandom throughout Philadelphia, losing is not acceptable. And for probably the second time in my lifetime, which spans 26 years, I'm not old. I've not been around for decades and decades and decades. And some fans have experienced much harder Philadelphia sports times, a lot more losing, and quite frankly, a lot more misery. That's what you sign up for when you sign up to be a Philadelphia sports fan. Glimpses of success with a lot of pain. But this is probably only the second time that I've seen, the first being the final season of Chip Kelly's tenure. And maybe I should say it's the third time. The first being the year after the Eagles went to the Super Bowl and Donovan McNabb suffered a season-ending injury and Mike McMahon took over at quarterback. But those are extreme circumstances where your franchise quarterback suffered a season-ending injury and you had no backup plan, right? Mike McMahon was your backup plan. This comes after a season where you had Jeff Blake as your backup. Now, Jeff Blake wasn't good at that point. He wasn't starting caliber quarterback at that point, but he was significantly better than Mike McMahon, who in my lifetime is the second worst Eagles quarterback that I can remember. Now, Nat Marlow, we're going to put you on the spot right away. There's only one that's worse. Can you tell me who that one was?
Only one.
Yep, there's only one that I think that was worse than Mike McMahon. This is totally off topic. We'll get back to the point. There's only one worse than Mike McMahon.
Are you specifically talking about during Donovan's tenure here?
Perhaps.
Perhaps only. Off the top of my head, I can't think of it.
Okay, how about your head coach?
Oh, head coach?
No. What I'm saying is the current head coach is the only one that was worse. Doug Peterson was horrendous as the Eagles quarterback. But that's beside the point. What my point was is that this is the probably only the second or third time that I've seen fans openly call for tanking, openly call for losing. And despite the fact that this team heading into Thursday night was 1-4-1, that's utterly unacceptable to call for a tank of like epic proportions and just lose out, get a top five pick. I don't care anymore. I don't want to hear that. I don't sign up for that. I don't subscribe to that. I don't need to hear that. Despite the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles have a 35.7 winning percentage, they lead the NFC East by percentage points. Dallas still has to play today. They'll play later today. They play a 1-5 Washington team that can't get out of their own way. Benching Dwayne Haskins was a terrible mistake. I know he wasn't good, but Kyle Allen is worse. And the Cowboys will probably win today, I think, even with Andy Dalton at quarterback. So they'll be 3-4. If they win that game. So the Eagles still have to battle and still have to win next week. That's when we turn our attention to Dallas week and the opportunity for the Eagles to get back to 3-4-1 and take control of the division once again. But the Philadelphia Eagles have the opportunity at hand, despite the fact that they have to play Seattle still, despite the fact that they have to play Green Bay still, despite the fact that they still have to play Cleveland and Arizona, who could cause problems, and the Saints, who, while Drew Brees is clearly on the downturn of his career, are still a decent football team. Despite the fact that they have to play all five of those teams still, the Eagles have exactly the halfway hardest schedule left in the NFL. What I mean by that is they have the 16th toughest schedule and the 16th easiest schedule. So whichever way you want to play it, they're right smack in the middle because they still have to play Dallas twice. They still have to play the Giants again. They still have to play Washington again. That right there, in and of itself, makes for a middle-of-the-road schedule. If you win all four of those games, that gets you to 6. If you win all four of those games, that means you're 5-1 in the division. It's asking a lot, but that's what that means. So if you're 5-1 in the division, and you are, at worst, a 6-win team, that means of Seattle, Green Bay, Cleveland, Arizona, and New Orleans. 5 games against 5 teams who are at least competent opponents. You've got to win 1 to win the division. 1. Because you get to 7-8-1 and with a 5-1 record within the division, it's going to take 8 wins for the Dallas Cowboys to beat you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Now, the Dallas Cowboys happen to have the easiest remaining schedule in football. 37.9% winning percentage.
Uh-oh.
They still have the Pittsburgh Steelers. They still have the Baltimore Ravens. And they still have the San Francisco 49ers. Problem being, they've got Washington twice, the Giants once, the Eagles still. This all evens out because the division in and of itself is terrible. So it all evens itself out. But they also still get to play Minnesota and still get to play Cincinnati. Two things about those two games. Joe Burrow's been pretty darn good, despite the fact that they're 1-4-1. I think that he's had a lot of success. The Minnesota Vikings have also had an unbelievably difficult strength of schedule through six games. They're 1-5. Here's who they've lost to. Green Bay, who is 4-1. The Colts, who I think the Colts stink, but they've got an adequate record. The Titans, who are undefeated. The Seahawks, who are also undefeated. And the Atlanta Falcons, who were playing for, I guess, pride at that point. And it was a battle of two quarterbacks that have made me very, very miserable over the last couple of seasons. But the Minnesota Vikings are a more formidable opponent, as of right now, than they probably were 3 weeks ago. So while Dallas does have the, by the numbers, easiest schedule remaining in the NFL, of those five games that were aforementioned from the Eagles, if you go 5-1 in the division, you've got to win one. It's a tall task. I get it. The Eagles aren't very good. In fact, they're a bad football team. You know who else is a bad football team, though? The New York Giants, the Dallas Cowboys, Washington football team.
And in case you haven't realized yet, everyone else in their division.
Literally everybody else. The whole division is bad. 7-8-1 gets you there. That's disgusting, but it does. So what I wanted to ask today, we'll talk about some other fun stuff as well, because we've got a lot of fun side topics for you as well. But the main conversation today revolves around the fact that I am full throttle ready for the Philadelphia Eagles to capture the NFC East crown for the third time in four seasons. Why? Because they're the most talented out of really bad football teams. That doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't. But when I objectively look at all four of these teams, the Eagles are the best of the four. 610-632-0975. Are you all in on the division like myself? Are you still waiting on Dallas next week and this weekend for that matter? Or are you still, even after the Giants win, ready to rebuild and kind of sell for this season? 610-632-0975. Now, Nat Marlow put up a poll on our Fanatic Twitter page. We'll get to that in just a second. I've got some fun side topics as well to discuss with you guys throughout the next hour and 45 minutes or so. But first, let's head to the phones. We'll talk to our buddy in Westchester. And let's go to Drew on the Fanatic. What's up, Drew?
Joe Tyler, man. Nice to talk to you this early.
Hey, yeah, it's nice to speak to you as well. I saw your tweet. Just not sleeping anymore?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I woke up at like 4 a.m. this morning and I was up, and then I was checking Twitter and I saw you were going to be on, so I figured I'd hang out.
Yeah, I appreciate you joining us. Hope you've got a nice cup of coffee or tea or whatever, whatever's your morning drink of choice.
Yeah, man, absolutely. So, real quick, what'd you think about that end of the Penn State game? You think that was a 2-point conversion?
Drew,
you want to talk about it?
I'm willing to talk about it. I didn't want to talk about it last night. I believe that video review is unbelievably essential to sports, but football in particular, because it is, you know, we always hear that cliche, it's a game of inches, but it really is true. So it is paramount to have video review and to get things right. With that being said, objectively speaking, the Big Ten got that one wrong.
I agree 100%, man. It didn't look like it was good to me.
And so, you know what the saddest part about that is, Drew, is they're going to come out with a statement on Tuesday or Wednesday and say, you know, something corny and cheesy about After review, we've decided that the officials were incorrect, but it doesn't change the outcome of the game.
You really think they will?
That's the one thing that college officials will admit to is they are transparent when they're wrong, but it doesn't do anything for the sake of the fans or for the game.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's weird. I wouldn't think they would do that, but I definitely thought that was a bogus ending. But on to the birds, man. So I'm with you 100%, dude. All these people talking about tanking and trying to get a high draft pick, I'm not in favor of at all. I say, you know, you go for the division, especially this year, man, with the division being as bad as it is. I mean, you got a chance to win the division, play a home playoff game, and, you know, you could possibly win that game. Are they going to win the Super Bowl? Probably not. But, you know, could they extend their season, make it a little entertaining for us going forward? Absolutely.
Sure.
And that's all I'm looking for.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, when you get into the situation that is the NFL playoffs, I'm not going to say that the Eagles are Super Bowl contenders because they're not. And I'm not even going to say that the Eagles are a particularly good football team because I also think that they're not. But the one thing that I do think is that, you know, when you get a home playoff game in January, you know, early January, anything can happen over the course of 60 minutes. And when you're playing a wild card team who's coming on the road to play you in you know, whether there's fans or not at that point, you know, I would take my chances against a team like Chicago. I would take my chances against the team, you know, in a rematch against the team like the Rams. I don't think they're better than any of these teams in particular, but, you know, one game, 60 minutes, I'll take my chances.
Absolutely, man, and that's all it takes, and that's why I'm saying you keep going for it. And, you know, as far as buyers or sellers at the trade deadline, I think you only make a move if it's something that helps you in the long term. You know, I don't want to make like one of these short term moves, you know, to try to, you know, do something in the short term. I'd rather see them, you know, do like a move that helps them for next season as well.
Sure. No, it makes sense. Drew, appreciate you starting us off today. Thanks for hanging out with us.
All right, Tom.
Talk to you, Drew. 610-632-0975. It makes sense that you're not willing to mortgage more of the future for a short term success because you do that when you're knocking on the doorstep of Super Bowl contention. If the Baltimore Ravens, actually, you know what? In fact, that's a perfect example because the Baltimore Ravens did just do that by giving up a third and a fifth for Yannick Ngakoue.
And that could be huge for them now.
And it really could because that defensive line, as good as it is, you add Ngakoue to Calais Campbell and Matt Judon and all, and that entire front seven. Patrick Queen's been a sensation at linebacker. That is a short-term move that propels the Ravens even closer to the Kansas City Chiefs, even closer to a Super Bowl run.
And they're probably looking at it as, we almost lost to the Eagles when we pretty much had that game in the bag. Let's get some more insurance. So them picking up Ngakoue, terrific move right there, especially when they're on the cusp of being Super Bowl contenders right now.
Yeah, and you know, the move to get Ngakoue, we could talk about that, but that could probably be its own segment, right? The move to get Ngakoue for the Minnesota Vikings at the time was a correct move. You give up a second and a fifth for a guy that is supposed to make a difference on your defensive line. Now, we talked about the Vikings, who probably have had one of the hardest schedules. They've not done themselves any favors by losing to the Falcons and things like that, but they've had one of the tougher schedules in football so far. I understand why they're selling Ngakoue at this point, because they're not in contention. But for everybody that is griping with the fact that they gave up a second and a fifth and got back a third and a fifth, so effectively you traded a second-round pick for a third-round pick. On paper, it looks really bad. On paper, it actually looks horrendous. But you got something out of a situation where your team was going nowhere. So at least you recouped some of your losses. It's like when you look at real estate. Now, listen, I'm not a real estate mogul. In fact, I don't even own property. So you could correct me if I'm wrong if you own property and you feel differently. But if you make an investment into real estate and it's a bad investment, or it looked good on paper at the time and it turned out to be a bad investment, if you recoup some of that money, you're not happy about it, but you've gotten something back. You're not totally out of all of the money that you spent. That's how the Vikings were perceiving that trade. They tried something. It failed. They got close to what they gave up back for Yannick Ngakoue. It wasn't perfect, but they got something back.
And I can't fault them for that at all. Because if any, would you say they're closer to a rebuilding franchise at this point?
The Vikings?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Because of the fact that eventually that horrendous Kirk Cousins contract is going to come off the books. You're going to be looking to draft a quarterback probably shortly. If not this year, maybe next year, you're looking to take a quarterback. So I think so. They're probably closer to rebuilding. I would not be shocked if this team starts to shop Dalvin Cook. Because of the fact that they're not close to contending. Despite the fact that every good thing I just said about them, and the fact that I'm probably one of the few people left in the NFL fandom that thinks they could be closer to contending than not, I think that they probably do start to look to sell. So sure.
And if they end up do selling, you can get some terrific pieces to rebuild that franchise. You can get terrific pieces to rebuild any franchise if that's the route you're going to go. And if we're talking Eagles, well, if they had no chance to win the division, then I would say sell, sell, sell. But you have a serious chance to win the division right now.
With the state of the division? Absolutely. All right, real quick, before we head to our first commercial break, and by the way, you can join the show at 610-632-0975. Are the Philadelphia Eagles division contenders, or are you still not sold and you're ready to make sellers of the team and have them rebuild? Or you can give yourself a third option. You're cautiously waiting for the Dallas game next weekend. But before we head to our first break, Nat Marlowe, we have a poll on the 97.5 The Fanatic Twitter page, at 97.5 The Fanatic. Can you let the people know what the poll options are?
All right, so early numbers are for this poll. Thursday's Eagles win against the Giants was 43% say just a win, 40% say a season-saving win, and 17% say a season-changing win.
Okay, so on the other side, I'm going to get your answer to this question. I'll give you mine as well. And we'll add that to the mix of questions about the Philadelphia Eagles. Was Thursday night's win just a win? Yes, they played the Giants. Yes, the Giants are horrendous. And yes, they let the Giants hang around for far too long. So was it just a win? Was it a season-saving win? Was it a season-changing win? And when we get back from break, I'll explain the difference between those final two because they're close. They're very similar questions. Are very, very similar answers, I should say, but they're close enough that I will give you a definition as to why they're different in this poll. We've got a couple of fun side topics to get into as well, so we'll bring them up on the other side of the break. 610-632-0975. He's Nat Marlowe. I'm Tyler Zulli. We take you until 8 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.